שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך כתבי רבש כרך ב.
We are studying from the writings of Rabash, letter 53. It's on page 133 in the letters of Rabash. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
Right.
הנה חזל אמרו, מהי חנוכה?
Second paragraph. Our sages said, what is Hanukkah? Our sage taught, we see that Hanukkah has the letters of Hanu, parked, paused, ko, here, thus far. Meaning that on the 25th of Kislev, the third Hebrew month, they had a pause in the war, as pausing happens specifically in the middle of the work. And the pause in the middle is in order to muster strength in order to be able to continue the work. We need to understand that what they still had to do once they have completed the first war, and what they still needed to do until they could say that they have finished the war.
What is the war? The war is against the forces of separation in order to connect. So, in our broken will to receive, there are vessels that are Shorish Aleph and Bet, and these Kelim, they're called weak Kelim. If we can connect upon these Kelim, then a relatively small light called the light of Chasadim shines in us. It's the light of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, Naran. In our small vessels called Galgalta and Enaim, the attainment of the lights of Naran in the Kelim of Galgalta and Enaim is called a state or a degree of Chanukah. Parking, meaning Chanaya. Why? Because working on these vessels, working on the connection in the vessels of Galgalta and Enaim, this is relatively small, specific work. And the correction that will come later, and our connection upon the vessels of reception is much stronger, it's much harder. And it comes in a completely different style of correction, because these are very hard kelim, these are vessels of reception. And therefore, there's a big difference between correcting the vessels of bestowal, meaning to connect upon the vessels of bestowal, and to connect upon the vessels of reception. Therefore, in between, there is a kind of parking. Suppose we're going out to some, we're going out of town, and we come to this village, and then from that village we have to go into some forest. So we're told that you can't go there with your car. You need some kind of a, you need a jeep. Otherwise, you can't get in. Meaning we need a new engine, we need a new approach. We need a completely different method. This is the difference between Chanukah and Purim. To work with the weak kelim on the connection, or to work with the heavy, very hard kelim on the connection. All this is the correction of the shattering. That's all there is. Let's go.
We continue.
שבבית שני גזרו היוונים גזרות על ישראל ולא הניחו אותם.
We found that in the second temple the Greeks have decreed against the Israel, they did not let them engage in Torah and mitzvot. It therefore follows that the whole miracle was that after the war they were able to engage in Torah and mitzvot. And this is regarded as the miracle being only on spirituality. But in Purim, the miracle was over the bodies.
So this is how it's called, the vessels of reception, the vessels of bestowal, that this is spirituality, this corporeality, but actually the same vessels of reception, only on a different level of avyut.
This is why in Chanukah we are to commemorate the miracle with praise and gratitude and not with feast and joy. But regarding Purim, it is written, feasting and rejoicing, meaning things that relate to the body too, since then the miracle was on the bodies called corporeality. And we need to understand all this in relation to the work of the Creator. Our sages said, with all your heart, with both your inclinations, the good inclination and the bad inclination. We need to understand how can we serve the Creator with the evil inclination. First, we need to understand the meaning of the evil inclination. It is known, and we already said, that the evil inclination is the will to receive for oneself. That is, wanting to please oneself causes one to make all the sins. This means that wanting to transgress is only because he wants to receive pleasure for himself. So he steals and robs and lies and does not want to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, because a slave is happy when left alone. But the good inclination is wanting to please others, either wanting to please people or to please the Creator. And this is the meaning of the commandments between man and man, and between man and the Creator. The Creator created the world in order to do good to His creations. For this reason, a desire to receive pleasure, to enjoy, to please themselves, and not to give to others, was installed in the creatures. Hence, when one has to work in order to please others, it is very difficult for him because it is against nature. The Torah's obligation that we should work in order to bestow is only a correction, to avoid the bread of shame. For one who receives a gift from his friend is ashamed to receive. But the Creator wants wholeness in the pleasures that He wishes to impart us. For this reason, He has given us work and labor, so that each will receive according to his work. Then if one achieves a degree where he can receive all the pleasures, while his intention is only to bestow contentment upon his Maker, there will be wholeness in the pleasures. For this reason, we have two works. One, the work of the good inclination, when one does not want to receive any pleasure for oneself, but all of one's actions are only to bestow. And this is why he prays and engages in mitzvot. This is called a soul, spirituality. This is the degree that they were awarded on Chanukah, meaning that the Greeks did not let them engage in Torah and mitzvot, and they had a pause from this work.
Meaning they wanted to connect. They wanted to perform actions in order to bestow, but their will to receive, their ego, didn't allow them to do it. But they wanted to, and they couldn't. Are we at least in this kind of situation? Are we in this state where we're drawn to connection in different ways, and we can't? Where we feel that there's some kind of an inner disturbance, obstacles that doesn't allow us to connect, that our evil inclination called Yevanim, Greeks, is holding us, not allowing us to come closer to each other. Do we feel this on the inside? Is it scrutinized in each one of us? Is this war clear to us that these are the desires that are stopping us, that are jumping on us, that are not allowing us to come closer to each other? Do we really feel it as our inner war? Or none of us really go into this war. Why? What for? I can sit quietly. The Greeks, they didn't want anything. They just want us to stop doing the holy work, meaning for us not to work on the connection. You don't want to connect? No problem. Live your life quietly. Have a good life. You can be engaged in philosophy, music, dance, theater. You can do whatever you want. Go ahead. All the more. The whole world's open before you. Everything's great. Everything but connection. Are we finding it? Do we see that this is how it is between us? Do we find these forces of separation? If not, then we didn't start the war. Even the war of the Maccabees, we didn't start any kind of war yet. We haven't yet reached, we as if haven't even begun the path towards Hanukkah. But Purim, it's the same. It's the continuity, only with heavier kilim. Yes.
Two, however, the war was not over yet. Meaning now they have the work of receiving all the pleasures that the Creator wanted the creatures to receive. So now they have to work on achieving a degree where we can receive all the pleasures while their intention is only to give by that contentment to the Creator. At that time, when receiving all the pleasures, it is regarded as serving the Creator with the evil inclination, meaning that he is performing a mitzvah by receiving the pleasures with the body. Therefore, when they succeed and can receive everything that the Creator wants to give, the miracle is called redemption of the bodies. When the miracle was on the body, which is the will to receive. This is why it is written about Purim, feasting and rejoicing, which imply that the miracle belongs to the body, meaning to corporeality. For this reason, on Purim, they observed and received, which is already regarded as the end of the work, end of the war. But on Hanukkah, it was only a pause in the war, and we must carry on. This is why on Hanukkah, the intimation is Chanukko. Posed here. May the Creator open our eyes and award us complete redemption soon in our days. Amen.
Questions? Who should we start with? Tzvika or Gershon? I don't know how to decide. Gershon. Okay.
There's a feeling when you are talking, you asked, do you truly want to connect? You connected something heartfelt, a yearning for connection that a person has to have, that ultimately leads him to a prayer.
It's called having faith in the sages, meaning I have to listen to what our teachers tell us, if I want to reach the purpose of life. If you don't want to, you can be a beast. The purpose of your life is to sustain your body and take care of it. No problem. Here, you're taking care of your soul. Something else. It's a different kind of work. But it's not that you can sit here and think about how to take care of your body. It's you're simply losing. Either have a good time there or build a new life here. This is why I'm talking about bestowal as something that you really have to examine daily and do something about it. We're now going into very, more intensive work, more pinpointed, more directed, so that it'll be clear to everyone what are we doing. And maybe with this new stage in the work, you'll have a third or a quarter left of what we have here and from what we have in the world, but you have no choice. Yeah.
There's always a feeling that the work becomes more intense, but the sensation in the work is that it's something artificial. The effort to connect is not like a yearning that kind of overflows. It's an artificial struggle, as you said, faith in the sages. And you're describing it. Do you truly want to connect? Where would the person truly want to connect?
So you have to know how much you don't want to connect, but you have to know the truth. You have to know the truth. This is what you need. I'm not telling that you have to. You only have to know where you are and what are you directing yourself at if you're a man, if you're an Adam. The point that you're directed at and the direction. Otherwise, it's called a beast wandering in the field. Well, Tzvika.
When you say war, we need to understand a little bit better. A war connection, what do you mean by that? You say war. The war of Hanukkah, the war of Purim, yeah, they're all wars. In general, everything that happens in the world, even if we don't understand, we can tie it together, it's all against connection. In order to help humans scrutinize little by little, they have nothing else to do in this world except to connect.
A bit more simply put, I'm sitting in the tent. Really, the time has come to do practical things. Suppose Akoka, he's sitting here. What kind of work am I supposed to do with him? What war?
You don't have to wage war with him.
What war?
You have to wage war on connection.
There's a tent sitting here. Can you give us an example so we'll finally understand what kind of war you're talking about?
How do we commit to ensure that no one will forget about the tent throughout the day? None of us will forget about the connection throughout the day. Wait a second, don't jump. That I constantly care about my friends. And if I care about them, I'm certain that they will not forget. When I constantly pray to the Creator that He will not forget about them and He will hold them in connection, I'm willing to be responsible, a guarantor that they will not forget. I want it. Whatever will come out of it. I don't care. I constantly want to be in this concern, like a mother towards her baby. This is my work. A ton of disturbances, immediately all sorts of things that distract, that blur things in my heart and my head. But I hold myself. I demand of the Creator. I get angry at Him. Watch at you. Hold me so I will not forget about them. Yeah, like that. This is it. This is the war. Who am I waging war with? You can say evil inclination. You can say the Creator. Doesn't matter. It's the same. I am at war.
I want to tell you.
No, you're not an example.
No, they're gentle. I'm having a hard time. But if I have a woman at home that gives me a hard time and I can overcome what she's doing, I feel that I'm in a terrible war.
Of course. Two egoists.
Two
clash.
Egoists.
Lock horns.
So I want to ask, when can I really... Because I feel death. I really feel death at home. And the question, I come here, everyone loves me. So you need a partner for war.
Because you're escaping.
Right.
And that's not good. You have to invite that war.
How do you do it?
This is called the war of the Creator, the wars of Moses.
How do I reach a state? Because what is a war? That he is if on purpose he insults me, I overcome this with love. How do I do it? This is my problem.
You have to locate Pharaoh between you, Egypt with all of the servants of Pharaoh, with everything that's written there. It's all in the middle between you, in the ten, until you turn these connections that are bad, that are, you know, separation, envy, lust, honor, hatred, power games, until all those little problems, until you turn it into a connection, the correct connection, the heartfelt connection. And here you begin to see just to what extent you're unable to do it. So how can you run away from this evil force? How can you rise above it? That's the meaning of exiting Egypt. That's the work. But everything in connection inside the ten. You cannot run away from that. Inside this template, you start and you finish everything, your corporeal life and your spiritual life, everything only in that. The Creator shattered your vessel. Go ahead, correct it.
Can the light help me? The reforming light, can it help me do this war?
Of course.
What am I supposed to ask for?
Ask him to connect. Of course, you don't have. You only have a necessity to connect, and even that necessity, you take from the others who are acting before you as if they want it, and that's how one shall help his friend. And then you together turn to the upper light, and he gives you both the burning of the heart on the one hand, and the revelation on the other side, and that's how you work. But you constantly care about that.
So why are you worried? Because previously said, if we'll do the war, you'll stay here with a third of the people.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Now we have 500 people here. Let once we start the work in all seriousness, let's have, you know, after 2-3 months, let's have half of people stay here.
Half?
Yeah, half, and then another half, and then another half, and then what?
You'll stay here with two people.
Let them be two, but these two will be in spirituality. There will be an adhesion and revelation of the Creator. They will do the spiritual work for everyone. And everyone, even those who have left, they didn't just leave. They caused these two to enter, you know, contact. And that's good for everyone.
What you're saying is frightening.
Well, what's frightening?
Our society will fall apart.
We're in a state where we can have the end of correction, then the other way around. And instead of it concentrating, shrinking, it will expand and spread out, and the group will start to grow fatter. So please.
I think that this will happen.
It's written, Elishuun.
I don't think anyone will run away.
Of course, I'm looking at you.
It's a fact, I didn't run away. I didn't run away from my wife either.
You didn't start the war on connection. Did not start. So don't tell me you were strong.
Can you explain what does it mean that we didn't start this war yet of connection?
What kind of actions have you done throughout the day to not let go of the thought about the connection between us? Throughout the day, a war.
Maybe the friends can say, really?
No, I'm asking you.
I don't know, during the day, we're on WhatsApp. I don't know I don't know what war are you talking about.
I'm asking what you have in your heart and your brain that you're constantly caring about it, like, God forbid, you have some problem at home.
I thought that I have to work on love all day long.
Love is a greater trouble.
I don't know what you're talking about. The war that you're talking about, I don't know what that is. Ask the people here. Maybe they'll say something that I don't know.
You're thinking, when you start to think about it, you don't disconnect from it after a moment?
I have nothing to lose when I go to war in this society. Maybe if I had something to lose, I'd be afraid or something like that. And I'd really fight for something personal. But I have nothing to lose. At home, I have what to lose. I'll have to pay alimonies, my children, my this, my that. What can I lose here?
Yeah, I guess we need Haman.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know what to do.
So, you can't advance through the path of Torah. You need the path of suffering. You admit it. I can't move. Where's the stick? Start beating me up. That's what you're asking.
I don't have an answer, really. I don't. Maybe you have an answer for us. Because we're a good, nice, pleasant society, good guys.
Good. Take a piece of paper and write. Tomorrow you're going to read it to me. That you're praying to the Creator, saying you have no strength, you can't obligate yourself to reach connection and the society and the concern for the for them and envy and nothing. You're completely indifferent towards them. You know, you have no good relationships or bad relationships. Simply nothing. Are you with us at all or not?
Of course, that's the thing. I'm with you in love.
In love?
You're talking about war. What war? I can't fight. I love them. They love me. We're afraid of harming each other. There's a problem. I don't know how to solve it. You have a solution? Great. Maybe the guys can say what the solution is. I don't know.
Yes. Maybe I shouldn't talk with you, if that's what you think.
Tov. Me.
Ken. Oh. He will tell you.
What is the prayer in the state of Chafetz Chesed? Delighted in mercy.
First, you have to reach Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy. Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy, is a man, a person who worries about the whole world and nothing for himself. Chafetz Chesed, delighted in mercy, is towards himself. He came to the correction with his will to receive, that is zero. He needs nothing. Nothing. But he discovers also, together with that, in the next stage, a little past Chafetz Chesed. Chafetz Chesed plus 1 inch on the path, he discovers he has nothing to give. So his Chafetz Chesed, his delighted in mercy, is wrong. And so he starts to advance toward vessels of reception in order to receive, in order to bestow. Because in Chafetz Chesed, he's got nothing, not to receive, not to give. He neutralized his will to receive, and he is delighted in mercy. He's not in the revealed chasadim. He has nothing to give.
When Mordechai sat at the gate, he was in a state of Chafetz Chesed.
Yes.
What was his prayer?
There was no prayer. It was boring. He was bored. There was nothing to do. Jews engaged in their businesses. Esther was set in the king's palace, and he's sitting on a little rock by the king's by the gate to the king's palace. How did everything start? When the upper force, the Creator, awakens, steers things up. Otherwise, no one will move.
At which point did he awaken?
How does he wake up? From above.
Who
before this point, he agrees with everything that the king says? That Haman...
No, Haman is still not... even Haman is sitting with the king, is eating, drinking, he has vessels of reception, he's filling himself in the king's palace, no problem.
But Mordechai agrees.
Yeah, of course, he doesn't bother Mordechai, it's not the same vessels.
At what point does he not agree yet?
When Haman begins to work, Haman starts to, you know, kind of get busy with the Jews when he wants to destroy them. Meaning, vessels of reception awaken. And Mordechai doesn't know exactly what to do with these vessels. And that's why he turns to Esther. Esther is the connection between Bina and Malchut. Esther, the queen, on the one side, queen, on the other hand, Esther, concealment, connected to Bina. And then he turns to, you know, he doesn't know what to do. It's an inner quality. He doesn't know what to do. There's no solution with these qualities. So what does she say? She says, first of all, we have to get sanctified. Your Jews, they're incorrect. They're wrong. Go to them. Tell them to fast 3 days. Meaning disconnect from their will to receive, three days, that's a known thing. When they disconnect from the will to receive, we'll be able to talk to them further.
Besides my wife, who's our Esther in the tent? I want to wake up. Who do I have to turn to?
When you want to wake up, you have to turn to the friends. Each shall help his friend. By hatred, lust, envy, honor, you have to keep the Arvut. Why are you 10 and not 1? Tell me. Can't one do the correction? Because you need this mutual help.
But my work, the Malchut, it's to awaken the friends.
Good. Nice. You awaken the friends. The friends awaken you.
This is our vote.
This is our vote, yes.
How to wake up?
No, in English, no?
Yeah. It's like I'm just like sitting at the gate, like you say, bored. I have this chisaron. I feel the Jews of the world, both in Israel and America, not connecting. But I'm like sleeping. I'm like picking my nose at the gate.
Yeah, but the Creator makes sure he wakes up. A man comes and starts to cook up some scheme to destroy them. It's like what's happening now. All over the world, you have anti-Semitism. Everyone is starting to, you know, get angry at the Jews. This is all Haman. And then the Jews themselves feel uncomfortable, but still they get along somehow. And what's happening with Mordechai? Where is his concern for what's happening in the world and for what's happening with the Jews? I'm asking you. You belong to this group, which is Mordechai. What do you do?
I'm sleeping at the gate, and every time the alarm goes off, I hit the snooze button.
Yeah, snooze, and that's it.
When is enough times with the snooze button? Another 9 minutes, I'll wake up.
So what to do? We talked about that, you know, each will help his friend. That's what we have to do. Read the 10, 20 articles of Rabash. Look what he's writing. But don't just read all the articles. Read them. You know what? They help his friend, each other. Take it as a topic and prepare it for us tomorrow, the day after, only on that. Read Rabash, what he writes, each will help his friend. Because that is the Arvut, in other words.
Can I ask something from the friends?
Now? For everyone? Okay, go ahead.
Friends, I feel great shame because the entire world is in a mess. Terrible mess. And I continue sleeping, please.
Tazruli.
Help me.
Help me. I want for you to pray such an intensive inner prayer that the Creator will give me the strength to awaken the entire world Kli, and also to move my pen. In order to find the words so that the world will understand, please, today, we can do something that will make us move.
He's right. And the time is also right for it. His heart is full of the right feeling. Okay. Let's try. Now, a few moments, a workshop. How do we realize these things now? The time is very special. How, throughout the day, with the Arvut, we come to the general pain in the heart that we want to have the desire to connect. We're looking for the impulse to connect between us with the Creator together.
Daily task. Okay, with us were Bogota, Barnaul, Moscow, Be'er Sheva, and Petach Tikva. And the daily task is, during the day, in the 10, we hold each other, we keep each other, fighting for the connection and caring for each other. During the day, we make sure that we fight for the connection and keep together connected.
Zohar lesson today, the Zohar lesson with Rav Lightman, 6 to 6:30 lesson, 6:30 to 7 Israel time, reading the Megillah of Purim. Friends and viewers of our channel, you're invited for a festive meal this Friday, 2:45 in the morning. Nevatim 12, Petach Tikva, to RSVP 700-509-209.